All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
This is Jim Beaver from Deadwood, and you cocksuckers are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and this is a best of Storyworthy.
The best of sexy time.
Sexy time. This is a good one, people. It's not. We're not just trying to titillate and get, you know, hits on our through the web by using the word sexy. This is really sexy time.
Well,
radio.
I will say, Hannes, that the best ofs that we have done the best on have been the ones that include sex. So, like the best of love, the best of sex. Those
right.
ones do seem to do the best of penises. That did very well.
Yes, the best of penises. Ah, I remember that. Ah, Amari Stoudemire, quite the star. But I tell you, three people got that joke. Thank you.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, I know. He's a basketball player. Anyhow, sex sells. I mean, there's no way around. You know, even in Europe, as you know, you've been to Europe many times, they're very much more casual about sex and media, nudity, and so it's all over the place. And I always thought, this is amazing. There's naked people everywhere. There's naked people on TV. And yet they still use naked people in advertisement
right.
to sell things. So it doesn't matter how much nudity there is. You can still use it. It's still powerful enough to sell things.
Well, people want to have more than one orgasm. It's not like you do that. Like I went skydiving once. I'm just going to do that the one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not an orgasm. You want to do that again and again and again. So it keeps coming, doesn't it? As it were.
Coming. Yes, it does. Yeah, I know. We think we're so smart, but we're just animals who are like, we should be procreating all the time.
And so we call it the best of sexy time. Do you know why I decided to call it that, Hannes?
Because you find both of these men so attractive?
Our guests tonight are both very attractive. Rick Overton and Jeff Kahn, both very accomplished writers and comedians. Because me and one of my ex-husbands, we used to call it sexy time. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was our code word. It wasn't even so much a code as
a
sentence.
Yeah, that's not much of a code. That's sort of like just a...
to have sexy time?
Yeah, that sounds like one of you is an Asian tourist and one of you is a 10-year-old girl.
It was kind of grotesque. After we watched The Simpsons, after we watched, 60 Minutes in The Simpsons, do you want to have sexy time? Like
so you're
that.
Saying that Mike Wallace would get you going?
No, Scott Pelley. Scott Pelley, the young one.
He was only 58.
I love Scott Pelley. He's up there for me, like with Larry King, who also, I love him. Scott Pelley is another one of my favorites. What can I say? I used to be totally in love with... from NBC News, Tom Brokaw. I used to be so in love with him.
Would you like to have an endless orgasm? That was actually a bad Sean Connery.
Then, as he aged, he started getting, there's like a V below his nose. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Mm. But anyway, I'm not as in love with Tom Brokaw. But Scott Pelley, yes.
Yeah, so it's amazing you've never been married to a newsman of any kind. Maybe Paul Moyer. Remember Paul Moyer here in Los Angeles?
Do I? Yes. Paul Moyer.
Paul Moyer was Ron Burgundy incarnate.
He was, and I swear to God, I think he was making like $750,000 a year. He was getting paid so much money.
Oh, no, he was making much more than that.
Oh, I don't
know. He was making millions of dollars. He was the Channel 4 guy for 20 years, and then this is what show business is, and that's what local TV news is. It's show business. This guy, when I moved here, it's like, it's Paul Moyer on Channel 4. Paul Moyer. He's on Seinfeld. He's on this, on that. And one day, gone.
Mm.
Never heard from again. Boom. He just disappeared from Channel 4 and never showed up on any other TV
station.
And then
what?
Nothing. Oh, I have no idea where he is. I don't know if he's alive or dead.
Sean, get right on that, would you?
He's probably sitting on a ranch somewhere in Montana.
All right, you guys. So we are going to have sexy time tonight. So what do you and your fiance call it then? I mean, what are your code words or what do you do to make it like, okay, let's do this today, tonight, this month? I don't know. What do you guys do?
God, we're not as verbal as that. We certainly wouldn't call it sexy time, which again, I'm reiterating how creepy I find that.
Okay, what would you call it? Pummeling time?
That's only if I've really had a chance to work out. Is Hannes going to have a heart attack time? It's like, it's my heart rate goes up. I don't know. It's more of a like, hey, I'm touching you and you're touching me and now then things are happening.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
It's nonverbal. It's more nonverbal around my house.
Right, I see.
You dirty, dirty person.
I see. Well, I'll say, what do you think is better? Like, if you're with somebody long distance and then you only get together like every couple of months, is that sex hotter than the everyday sex? Or is everyday sex more comforting? Like if you have a fiance, so you live together and you are with her and it's, you know, it's always there, as it were.
Yeah, but they're always, that's all... That's all different. And the long distance thing, I mean, I've done that, and I think we've all done that. And it's like, that seems fun for a while, and then it really falls apart. By the way, can I just point out the worst possible long distance? You remember Antje?
Yeah,
from Germany.
From Germany.
I have this 10,000-mile long-distance relationship with a woman who speaks passable English, and I speak no German. So it's like, okay, let's have phone sex. Except you can't have phone sex when the person you're talking to has absolutely no vocabulary. Like, why would she know any words in English for this?
So like, her sexy words.
Yes, we will have the intercourse. You see, this is not, that's not sexy.
I see.
It doesn't work very well.
You couldn't teach her to say things like, fuck me or something like that?
You know, I'm just a little too Wisconsin to have...
To verbalize.
Also, like I said, I'm not that... verbal is not my thing. I'm a man. I'm visual. It's
hey,
like the
you
phone
know,
sex has never been a hot topic.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, along those lines, you know, folks, if you want to support Storyworthy, and of course you do, then you head over to storyworthypodcast.com before you shop on Amazon, because if you click through our Amazon ad, then we get a taste of the
and you know what you can
buy
on Amazon?
Well,
you
can buy an audiobook, and I did this sexy time audiobook.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of audiobooks. It was called Mind Control, Hypnotizing My Brother's Best Friend.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know, these two, a college girl and then this guy who lived in the dorm next door. And, you know, it was like her brother's best friend. And then they take this hypnotist class together because there's a lot of hypnotist class going on.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, I like that it's this erotic, like, niche thing where it's like it's about mind control.
Yeah.
And that is obviously to be read or listened to by people who cannot get people to have sex with them. So, like, the only way this will ever work is if I can actually work mind control. Also, no woman has ever had to convince her brother's friend. She's never had to hypnotize
him. I know.
It's like,
well, and that's the catch at the end of the story. I don't want to give it away, folks, but if I were to give it away, I will tell you.
He was never hypnotized?
Can you believe this stuff?
Oh, my goodness.
And neither was she. They were both faking it the whole time just so they could have hot college 20-year-old sex. Hey, you guys, we've got two great storytellers coming up. The first storyteller is Rick Overton. You guys, come on now. He is something else. He is a comedian, and he also has a podcast called Overview here on the Sideshow Network.
Yes, right here.
He's also going to be in Marlon Wayans' new film called Haunted House 2. You can find Rick at rickoverton.net, and you can also follow him on Twitter at Rick Overton. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Rick Overton.
Thank you. Thanks. Great to be here. We live in a different age now. Sure, I guess there's a lot of something swinging going on somewhere, mostly in the really strict Westboro community kind of Christian people. That's where that compressed coil spring blows open, you know? They all got the spank dungeons going on in that one weird locked room in the basement, you know? All of them. The rumor is that it's just all right-wing people that need to be pounded like a fucking in a pinata and a spin harness on the ceiling. You know, and you know what? The reason I'm not sure it's such a great idea to make it to a swinger party in the 21st century is this, because everyone has a tiny,
television production studio in their hand, in their pocket, and they say, remember, no cameras. Okay, I'm just going to text that to a friend here. Yeah, what is that? You got an iPhone? Yeah, you got a camera. And I just, the running the risk that there's like footage of you, because anyone can film anything at any time. It isn't Big Brother that we're talking about. This is Little Brother. Little Brother's going to fuck everything up with his cameras everywhere, you know? And so the innocent days of like the 70s, when I was in early days of comedy, and after a show, they go, hey, we're going down to this party. We are? Oh, okay. I remember once I was working out in just outside of Phoenix in Tempe, back in like, it was 80, 81, and it was a club called Chuckles. And this is one of those subdivides that hadn't been turned into a complete housing complex yet. So there's lots of things that go road forks off to just two sticks with a red flag on it into dirt. You know, later there'll be housing here. And there's the main road that goes way, 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 way over the hill. Just one glowing area. And you get closer and it's a horseshoe building, a double decker with a pool in the middle of it. And it's so far from it, everyone is a party swinger at the entire complex. You kind of move there based on that goal and purpose. And so we were working at the club, and let's say the comedians' names were Adam and Jack, just to protect whoever at this point. We were the three guys. I was the headliner, and they were the opener and middle. And the owner says, hey, guys, you know, after the show, the Ferret Sisters were here. They really enjoyed it. And you are invited. And we went, invited to the Ferret Sisters? Oh, no, they're cute girls, but one of them owns a ferret. Oh, okay. And so, no, don't worry, man. Don't worry. The Ferret Sisters aim to please. And so we went out driving in the back of the manager's Z car, where there's too many of us, so the hatch is open. There's an exhaust leak, and it was good. The hatches are just fucking dummies with limbs sticking out the back, you know? Shit-faced morons going out to this party. I got my twin Corbels. Ricky traveled with his twin Corbels. No, these are my twin Corbels. You get your own complete bottles of Corbel. So, you know, Ricky Two Corks from New Jersey. Hey, here's Ricky Two Corks. And so we finally get to the complex. And we're going up the stairs, and I'd been to a couple of fun, goofy parties in New York City earlier, but this is the first time I've seen anything like this. Those parties were just good. They weren't funny. I fucked a lot, and then went to sleep. You know, it was not really. You know, it's not good. It's not good. The jokes aren't good when everything goes great, you know. Two Jews walk into a bar, recognize each other, have a drink, go home. Boo, get off. There's no conflict. We hate you for no conflict. And so this one, though, was a little more odd. So we're going up the stairs, and we're greeted by a girl, a cute girl, who had this sort of comforter on, and she throws a ballet leg up on the railing, and da-da-da, opens it up naked. I'm guessing this is the place. So we go in, and there's a couple of, you know, on the sofa, bobbing asses, and legs sticking out, and going, this is definitely the fucking place. So, and there's people looking to meet people. These are the comedians from the club. Oh, hey, what's it like? So I met the girl who was a ticket taker at the local cinema, and the fellas broke off with the other people that they could hook up with, and I had sex with her twice, and then I'm drunk. I'm done. I'm in my 20s. I'm still fucking done. That's it. Two times and I'm done, because I'm drunk, and coming twice is like that amount of fluid. And, you know, you should bring it into the shop and top up again before you go back on the road, you know? So I'm down 2 quarts. And so now I'm pretty tired. Now, the girl that greeted us at the time, now we're just sitting in the pool. And I'm a bottle and a half in on the Corbels. And so I'm just sort of blurg-a-dee-glorg and splurg-a-blah, looking around at the surreal circus around me with my arms up at the edge of the pool. And that girl dives in, and she pops up, bloop, dolphins up in front of me, and she goes, do you ever have Aquahead? And I went, before I could talk, because there's no blood in my brain, and I'm just moron at this point. And she goes, Aquahead. And I went, bloop, and down she goes. And then suddenly there's these bubbles. And I'm like, oh, no. And it's really embarrassing. Hey, bloop, 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 bloop. And she goes, She comes up. Aquahead, what do you think? No, that's great. That's great. Let's come on. Let's get out of the pool. And so, and she was, I'm just, you know, I want to brag and say I could get it up one more time. I couldn't. I was just pounded. I was done. It was a done dummy at that point. And she tried and tried and tried, and I couldn't. I just was done. So I'm sitting there, and now I'm looking at back in the bedroom there, drying off, and there's the club manager sleeping with the girl I was just having sex with. And it's kind of that weird, out of the 70s brandy snifter mentality of, you know, I'm looking at him, just his ass just bonk, 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 going up and down into her. And she looks over and kind of does the eyebrows, like, what can I say? You know? And he looks over at me, and so I just to break the weirdness, I go, so how were the numbers tonight? Were they good? Both shows was good? Oh, yeah, man. Second show wasn't as good as the first, but they're a couple. We made the nut, you know. And then, you know, she looked like, okay, everything's fine. You know, because what do I owe her or me? She don't owe me anything, you know. So this was, and so finally the girl comes back. That was very determined to get one more round out of me, and she goes, yeah, no, you want to see my ferret? Oh, yeah, change the subject. I go, yes, show me the ferret. So she goes to the cage, pulls this ferret out in a cage, and unhitches it and hands him to him, and then goes, oh, he's kind of cute. Yeah, so he's friendly, right? He goes, oh, he loves people. And there's like a little sweat drop on my nose, but it's so loaded with like alcohol and sugar. He goes, lick, lick, and just bites into the end of my nose. And I stand up, and there's blood streaming down my face and this long necktie of a weasel hanging down from my face. And I'm like, ah! And I go, wee! And I just give him kind of a rib squeeze to make him let go. And now I'm holding him. He's biting me all over the outside of my hand because they're snake long. And they can whip around and just keep me. So I'm just all covered in bites. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to see medical papers on your fucking ferret right now. And she could not produce any rabies history shot paperwork for me. So there we are. Loaded back into the Z car, all the dummies and the limbs, like riding back into the sunrise again in the morning. Totally hungover. I got a big round, the round Band-Aid that when it fills with blood, it's like the clown with the red clown nose going home, you know? And I just picture the doctor coming out of the lab going, well, Mr. Overton, I don't know how you did it. You completely dodged herpes, but you got rabies. And so we're going to have to put you down.
And we're back. What an awesome. Rick Overton. Nobody tells a story like Rick Overton.
Exactly. So, and I, you know, just the whole, that word aquahead, I cannot get that out of my head.
It is. I think at the time I said something like, I wonder if this is where Jethro Tull got his idea for
Aqualung.
Aqualung. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I think giving Aquahead, I think you're risking a drowning is what I think.
I think that it doesn't sound like much fun at all because, you know what? Here's the problem. I just realized because if you're in a pool, you're relaxed.
Right.
You're so relaxed that like the act of getting Aquahead would be so unrelaxing. You'd be like, wait, I can't. My body is like loosey-goosey, and yet my penis is hard. It makes no sense. I can't. We can have sex next to... Well, having sex in water of any kind.
So you never had sex in a jacuzzi?
No. You know, that's...
Interesting.
You have to get water-soluble lube or something. It's like... Just
drier than you think. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying that it doesn't... Yeah, that whole sex in water thing is not... You know, I think I saw this
on... Sean Merrick is waking up. Hello, Sean.
Yes, exactly. Well, sex he doesn't care about, but he's really into bathing. He finds that very hot.
Well,
yeah, sex in water is highly overrated. It's one of those things like an 80s movie where it's like it looks good with the saxophone in the background, but it doesn't...
I don't need a saxophone, I'll say that. But also, I think it is extremely sexy time.
Really?
Yeah, I do. But not necessarily in the hot tub, but as a precursor, you know. Women like what they call foreplay, Hannes. Have you heard of that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't. My earpiece went out.
Sean,
what was that?
Anything?
What was that called?
What? Sean, huh? Two men in the room, and they're both confused.
But okay, yes, no. Jacuzzis can lead up to sex. Yes, right. Yes, I understand. I'm talking about having sex in water.
How do you suppose Rick Overton also had that whole ferret experience on the same night? I mean, it must have been like he was tripping.
Well, no. Remember, they were called the Ferret Sisters.
Right, I know.
And they had a ferret. That's why they were called. They didn't look like ferrets.
But it bit him in the nose.
Yeah, because he was... Because he wouldn't have... Let's see. He wouldn't
have
sex with, he couldn't have sex with the girl anymore.
Right, right.
So she said, well, now what are we going to talk about? I'll bring out the ferret. He reached for the ferret in a drunken stupor and was bit on the nose. And so he, I consider that to be...
And he dodged herpes, but he could have gotten rabies.
Yes, yes, he dodged both of them, apparently.
All right, you guys, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back for Jeff Kahn. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Nikki Levy, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We're actually decided to sit by the pool for the rest of our show. Of course, here at the compound, the Storyworthy compound, we do have a pool, and I'm hoping we can get a bank loan to build a grotto like the.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mansion. In other words, when we do the best of shows, we're just at home base.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With our gigantic editing bay of 6,000 computers, the most powerful computers in the world.
It's a big yellow modular house, you know, that kind of resembles the,
right,
the logo.
Overlooking Hollywood, but, you know, with this helicopter pad so we can get to our annex in Malibu easily.
And a tennis court.
And a tennis court, of course, and a full-size football field. But it's a vibrating football field. You remember the old game where it would vibrate and you
right,
put the
it was
guys
like electronic
there? But
football.
This is actually 100 yards long.
My brother had that. That was a kick-ass game, man. I love that. Electronic football. And
yeah,
like
exactly.
The little magnetic thing would go vibrating across the across
yeah.
the court. I love
that. I bet
that.
You like that football.
That's I was like 5 or 6.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I went
Sean,
too far.
Don't laugh at
oh,
him.
Oh, Sean's laughing at the
hey, you guys.
Image of the childlike Christine sitting on top of the vibrating. Oh.
Okay,
oh.
Along those lines, as long as we're talking sexy time and vibrating things, when I was 15 or 14, I used to really enjoy Pac-Man, the original Pac-Man, not Miss Pac-Man, but the original Pac-Man
sure.
totally turned
well,
me on.
Well, you're not gay. Why would you like Miss Pac-Man?
No, but for some reason, like chasing that thing around, like would give me an orgasm playing Pac-Man. I swear to
really?
God.
Really?
Isn't that strange? I don't think I've ever told anybody that. There you go.
You weren't sitting on the Pac-Man.
No.
Console.
The joystick had nothing to do with it. There was just something about woo, 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 woo.
Really?
Something.
So these are the sounds that you would like to hear. So when you're recording your sexy time novels.
It was like a munching sound.
When it says she moaned, you're
dirty.
Going woo, 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 woo. And they're saying your letter, we don't understand why you added this sound effect. No, that's her moaning. That's what I do when I orgasm. What, doesn't everybody sound like that?
That's the sound of when the Pac-Man, when you get the, when
the
you,
ghost.
When they get you, when they get
oh,
you.
Oh, right.
Woo, 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 bling, bling, bling.
So you're saying that it's all,
wicca,
the
wicca,
whole
wicca,
thing
wicca,
is
wicca, wicca.
Foreplay up until the Pac-Man dying is your orgasm.
Well, I can't really put my finger on when the orgasm happened, but there was something about it, and I would just sit in there. It was at Zipsy's Ice Cream down the street, and I would play
getting
a pocket
dirtier
full of quarters.
And dirtier, Zipsy's
pocket
Ice Cream.
Full of quarters.
You had to go through a big zipper fly to get in. That's what the door was. Zip. Come on into Zippy's.
Ladies and gentlemen, follow Storyworthy on Twitter, would you?
You couldn't put your finger on the orgasm, eh?
At Storyworthy.
At Storyworthy for more of these bon mots.
All right, you guys, we have a great story coming up right now called Threesome. And the story is by...
More sexy time.
And the story is by Jeff Kahn. And this guy, Han, is, as you know, very funny guy.
Very funny guy. I've known him. He was the roommate of Evan, who I've known since first grade Gore. In college.
Jeff Kahn, you guys, he is a hilarious writer and an actor. He co-wrote the book I Say Tomato, You Say Shut Up with his wife and Storyworthy favorite Annabelle Gurwitch. He also has a new show coming on ABC next year called Between Two Kings, and he is about to self-publish Lust and Found, an erotics neurotic memoir. In fact, this story, Threesome, is a chapter from that book. You can follow him at Tomato Stein. So folks, wherever you are, please put your hands together for Jeff Kahn.
Lisa Berlin was hands down the most radiantly beautiful 19-year-old in the history of 19-year-olds at the University of Wisconsin. We developed a fast and furious friendship that I endlessly hoped would blossom into a pants-off oral sex situation. Alas, for all the laughs and long, meaningful late-night talks, we never so much as kissed, let alone 69'd. Sensing I was forever destined for friendship material and not wanting to sustain such an unrequited purgatory, I gave up on Lisa and began bouncing about campus from futon to futon, luckily landing with some of the cutest of Madison's highly sexualized feminist liberal arts majors. Let me just say this about the whole early to mid-80s PC feminist thing that was happening on campuses back then. Okay, yes, it was annoying and demanded an absurd amount of self-conscious self-censoring. Don't say girl, say woman. Don't say history, say herstory. But if you were willing to play ball with the women of the PC feminist crowd, they were more than happy to take hapless but eager young boys such as myself by the hands, face, and crotch and learn us in the fine art of the female orgasm. And I am so grateful that they did, because when gorgeous Caitlin announced on our first date that she had never had an orgasm, I became a man on a mission. Caitlin wanted nothing more than for me to try to get her off, and when it finally happened, never wanted me to stop. Although sex with Caitlin was narcotically addictive, I told myself, if needs be, I could stop at any time. That chance came a couple months into seeing each other when Caitlin failed to show up for our date at the Ovens of Brittany, a French restaurant whose dishes were culinary cutting edge in pre-war Paris. That war being, of course, the French Revolution. Ticked off at being stood up, I walked over to her off-campus apartment to leave an indignant note on her door. How could I, hyper, hip, college junior, be stood up by her lowly, albeit very hot freshman, who I had been sexually satisfying on a near Guinness Book of Records pace for over a month? When I got to the door, I heard the distinct sounds of the Tom Tom Club song Genius of Love emanating from her room. Someone was home. I knocked and knocked, but no one answered. I can still hear those Tom Tom Club lyrics echoing in my brain to this day. Ipsa mama, I'm in heaven with my boyfriend, my laughing boyfriend. I kept knocking, calling out her name, but all I heard back were those amazingly apropos Tom Tom lyrics. If you see him, please remind him, unhappy boyfriend, unhappy boyfriend. As I was turning to leave, the door swung open, and there stood Caitlin, a blank expression on her face, neither that happy or disappointed to see me. Why didn't you answer the door? I asked point blank. I was sleeping. As she said this, a couple friends of mine appeared behind her. The urbane Whitney, a shock of blonde hair, carefully groomed to seductively fall over his face so that it could partially conceal one eye like a new wave pirate. And his equally polished, erudite girlfriend, Anne, a slender beauty with soft olive skin, dark brown hair, and just the slightest wisp of a bleached mustache. Anne admitted, "We got really smashed and literally passed out." Whitney showed me an empty bottle of high-end tequila as proof. Anne apologized further, claiming it was our fault that Caitlin didn't meet you. We ran into her outside the Memorial Library and asked if she wanted to do shots with us. Caitlin put her long, willowy arms around me and asked if I still wanted to go on our date. The whole drunken falling asleep bit felt odd to me, but I figured stranger things have happened at the University of Wisconsin than three students drinking themselves into a stupor and left it at that. Later, back at the Ovens of Brittany, or as I preferred to call it, the Ovens of Gluttony, Caitlin suddenly burst into tears. Yes, she, Anne, and Whitney drank a shitload of tequila, but no, they hadn't quite passed out so much as proceeded to shed their clothes and have a threesome. Great, I thought. They had an orgy and failed in spectacular fashion to invite me. Okay, I could have lived without seeing pale, hairless, bone-thin Whitney in the buff, but the idea of getting my hands on Anne's supple breast and butt, let alone watching her and Caitlin go at it, really felt like a missed opportunity for me. I knew that Caitlin was attracted to girls and had pressed her on several occasions to regale me of the dirtiest details of her past bi-girl adventure in my never-ending quest for details when it came to girls having sex with other girls. But this time, I didn't want the particulars because this latest lineup had a guy inserted in the sexual geometry, and that guy wasn't me. Caitlin said she would not blame me if I broke up with her, but she would be devastated because she was in love with me. I was struck by those words. Was that for real? Was that she just saying it to manipulate me into letting her off the hook? An odd way of showing it, fucking two other people, I told her. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'll never do it again, she promised. Not without inviting me to the dance, you won't, I replied. I don't want to share you, Caitlin said, her red eyes looking at me. Well, down at me, since she was 4.5 inches taller. Should I break up with her, I thought. I mean, wasn't it just great, amazing, mildly addictive, I can quit anytime sex that we were having? And even though she promised never to do it again, wouldn't there always be some cloud of mistrust hanging over us? The Tom Tom Club song kept repeating over and over in my mind. He's got a greater depth of feeling. He's a genius of love. I should have broken up with her, but there was something stopping me. Something I hadn't counted on, and the realization was hitting me so hard, so fast, and so unexpectedly, I felt like it could literally knock me off my feet. During the time we had been seeing each other, I had been so myself around her. I didn't have to pretend to be some over-the-top, gung-ho, PC feminist guy to be invited onto her futon, and I wasn't forced to suffer the sting of sexless exile in the unrequited lands of male friendship. Caitlin and I had freakishly good fucking, but we also had fun together that went beyond the genitals. We made up silly characters that spoke in high voices and meowed at each other like cats in heat. We saw movies and plays and hung out for hours at the student union listening to jukebox music and ridiculing pretentious people like Whitney, not knowing that she was going to have a threesome with him. We laughed a lot, great, hard, deep, life-affirming laughter. I didn't want to break up with Caitlin, even though she had threesomed without me, because I really liked having her in my life, and I didn't want to lose her presence in it. I didn't say any of this to her. That would be letting her off too easy, and I wanted her pangs of guilt to inflame the tons of makeup sex and good old-fashioned 69ing that was surely to be had later in bed that night. It might not have been as thrilling as her threesome, but let me assure you, it was pretty damn close.
And we're back. You know, I love a good sex story, and I love a good Wisconsin story, and this is both.
It brings your two worlds together, doesn't it, Hannes?
Yes.
If the Packers were on TV at the same time,
yes, much
anything
like
could
that
happen.
Famous Seinfeld episode, if I could have sex while watching the Packers and eating a bratwurst, that would be the happiest man in the world.
You know, one time, speaking of sexy time, I dated this guy. He was an athlete, I'll say that. He was a soccer player. Good-looking guy.
Soccer player.
And he... one time, when I knew it occurred to me, this is not the right person for me, we had sex, and I swear to God, he timed it such that he was done having sex, literally, because he was a pretty big guy, almost threw me to the side. It reminded me of how I've seen Tony Soprano throw women to the side. He throws me to the side, turns on Friends, and that stupid-ass music starts, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and he's like, oh, good, right, you know, right in time. And I'm like... What
okay.
was that?
Okay. See, now I was not, yeah, right. That was totally wrong. Because he turned on Friends. I was going to say, if he turns on SportsCenter and you hear da 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 da, that he's just a man.
He
who's
would
like,
leave
I
at
have
like 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning to go watch soccer, you know, because that
yeah,
was his
if
life.
He was like
he's
turning
a coach.
On Manchester
he's
United.
A, that's what he would be
then
doing.
Then he'd be like, okay, that I need to finish sex before Man U starts. But before Friends?
Yeah, I know.
That makes
if
no
they were
sense.
Playing the Blackburn Rovers, then it would be different.
Yes, exactly. And didn't you eventually get your revenge by banging a guy who wrote for Friends?
No. Now, come on now. First of all, I don't do the revenge thing. I'm not good at that. I've never done that.
I was just
and also, I never slept with a Friends guy. I never slept with any of the Friends.
What?
I've had friends I've slept with.
Yes, exactly. You didn't sleep with Joey or, hey, how you doing? Why am I? God, nice reference.
Well,
1993 called.
It was that comical, I think.
Yeah, no, that's great. Where he's actually shoving you out of the way to get to the remote. That's...
Anyway, okay,
yeah,
okay. So
like
anyway,
that.
Back to Jeff Kahn.
Back to Jeff Kahn and his three-way or his lack of a three-way.
It was a lack of a three-way. It's
there was
too
a
bad.
Lot of sex. I mean, Madison is, well, it's a college town. And it's like there's just pheromones and hormones just floating through the sky.
There's something about college. It's just ridiculous. I remember going on the birth control pill when I went to college and I said to my boyfriend, you know, just in case we ever, you know. And yeah. It was like I got back from East Liberty that afternoon and it was like... Game on. And I was supposed to wait, you know, like a period of time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. The guy's like, well, as long as the pills are in the room with us,
right,
it's cool.
You have to have taken a pill with 21 swallows of water before you are protected.
And all, you know, you tell that to your boyfriend and all he hears is swallow. That's all he heard. It's the only part of that sentence that penetrated.
All right. This has been a lot of fun. I sure do enjoy these guys. Don't you, Hannes?
They are hilarious.
Rick Overton,
and
Jeff Kahn.
See, now this is a thing where you can like get ratings with sex, but like these are quality stories that are also
it's
dirty.
True.
But
it's
they're
true.
Quality stories about dirtiness.
Well,
and that's what I
we've
like.
Had a couple of actual reviews on iTunes where they ask for more sex stories. So we're just giving the people what they want, Hannes.
Exactly, exactly. I think we might, let me just say this. I think we need to get a couple of women telling sexy stories next time.
Well, Chris Magaha's coming up. So maybe we'll get her to tell us something like that.
Bam, damn.
All right, you guys. Speaking of which, go head over to iTunes and subscribe. Would you subscribe to Storyworthy?
Please, yes.
And leave us a good review if you get a chance. That would be nice.
Yes, that's very important. And just tell your friends. Like we said, tell your friends about us. There's a million podcasts out there. We stand out because you tell people, hey, this one's really good. Because, not to be mean, but there's a lot of bad podcasts out there.
You know, we don't suck. I swear to God,
I almost
believed you there for a second, Hannes.
No, I totally seemed
very sincere. You did.
No, I think that we are actually entertaining. And many of them are. You always say to me, listen to podcasts. And I try, and I can't even listen.
Oh, come on. There's
horrifying.
A lot of great podcasts.
No,
but
there
I would
are,
think,
but there's
like,
a lot of bad ones,
if you
too.
Were to tell people about podcasting, like I would tell people about Storyworthy. I would tell them about Mark Maron's WTF. That's my favorite show. I would tell them about Paul Martin's Mental Ill Happy Hour. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. If it's a guy, I'd tell them about Man School with Caleb Bacon. So there's, you know, but there's like, if you would tell people like a starter pack of five or six shows, Storyworthy should be one of them.
Yes, exactly. What I'm saying is, there's, like every other media in the world, music, books, movies,
TV.
Majority is crap, and we're not crap.
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
We're not crap.
All right, you guys, I'd like to thank everybody for helping out the show today, including Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network.
He is not crap.
Also, Jorge Reyes, Joe Slutsky, and, you know, John Thomas Griffith, Hannes, I'd like to thank him. He wrote the theme song, Follow Me. And on behalf of our storytellers today, Rick Overton and Jeff Kahn, and of course on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.